While all the people were listening, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted with respect in the marketplace and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished more severely." Let's just pray before we look a bit deeper into God's word. Loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. And again, we think upon how it is alive. And Lord, it will change us if we allow it. So we pray now for your Holy Spirit just to move among your people and to challenge us and to change us to be like you, Lord Jesus. It's in your name we ask it. Amen. Amen. A little knowledge can be a dangerous thing. Are you familiar with that phrase? A little knowledge can be a dangerous thing. And the point being that we think we know something, just a little tiny bit about something, and therefore we're able to go and do probably sometimes dangerous things with that amount of knowledge. So we know that the brown wire is live. We know that the blue wire is neutral. Therefore, that qualifies us to rewire our whole house. But it just doesn't work like that. And sometimes a little knowledge can be a dangerous thing. And some of us have experienced what's going on in this photograph here. But a little knowledge can be a dangerous thing. But think of the other side of that today, okay? Think of the flip side of that. And as we read the passage today, it seems to be, and when it comes to understanding the Bible, that not a little knowledge, but a lot of knowledge can sometimes be a dangerous thing. Last week, if you think back, do you remember how Sam spoke to us about those know-it-alls? And these guys who had this superior, as they thought it, the superior knowledge of the Bible, and they had these big heads puffed up with pride. And with this superior knowledge, they tried to trip Jesus up. Do you remember that? They tried to trip him up. They tried to catch him out. And ultimately, they wanted to kill him. And so Jesus warns us in our passage today. There's a word there, beware. Beware. I want to focus on that for a moment or two. And I want to share then three B's with you, if you like, today. Three B's. Beware of the scribes. Beware of their behavior. Want to look at that and a little bit of depth. And then just to finish, be like Jesus. So beware of the scribes. Beware of their behavior. And be like Jesus. Let's look at that first one then. Beware of the scribes. Who are they? Who were they? Who are these guys? The scribes. Basically, they were the religious lawyers. Okay, they were like religious lawyers or solicitors. And they did have a lot of knowledge about the Bible. And just let's give the scribes a little positive. They always get a negative, but they did have a legitimate job to do. They had a worthwhile job to do. And before the days of computers, before the days of printers, then the scribes, as the name suggests, would be writing down the Bible very, very accurately and copying it. And then that Bible was able to be passed on and people would have God's word. I wonder when the last time it was that you wrote a letter by hand. I couldn't tell you the last time I wrote a letter by hand. It's normally typed out or on a WhatsApp message or whatever, an email maybe. These guys, the scribes, well, they had wrote the whole Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi by hand. Think about that. And they had to do that accurately. So the Bible that you have in your hand today, we have the scribes to thank for that Old Testament accurately copied over and over and over again until the printing press was invented. And it was their job to study the Old Testament. And maybe you needed some practical advice for life, as we all do. Maybe you had a dispute over land or a house, or maybe your marriage was breaking down and there was a divorce. Well, the scribes were there to go and to consult and they could bring you back to what the Bible had to say about your particular issue that was happening, because they had studied God's word to a very deep level, and they had a lot of Bible knowledge. If we hold that point and just think about that for a moment, it's good to have God's word. It's good to have it there, and it's good to consult God's word from our very accurate scriptures. And if we need direction in life, and we all need direction in life today in our relationships, how we spend our money, in our marriages, in what's going to happen in the future, we want to know what God wants, don't we? And we have God's word to consult. And the Bible is just perfect for that. And we call that the sufficiency of Scripture. There is nothing else that we need to know God's way forward. It was one of the five solas of the Reformation, of the Protestant Reformation. The Bible is at the foundation of everything that we have. And we call that the sufficiency of Scripture, because the Bible in itself is sufficient to tell us everything that we must believe in order to be saved, to come to God in the first place, and then what we must do to please God. For that we have the Scriptures. Don't trust your own thoughts. Someone said, don't believe everything you think. Think about that. Don't believe everything you think. And the advice of even our best friends, friends love to give us advice, don't they? That advice must be in line with what God has already said. Don't turn to the stars, don't turn to mediums or spiritualists, because God's word is there for us to show us the future. Don't go there. If you're a follower of Jesus, go to God's word. If you want to know what God wants you to do, just go to God's word. Because all scripture, I love this verse, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Go to God's word. Scripture is sufficient to give you the direction that you need in life. So we'll go back to the scribes. What went wrong? If they had this grasp in Scripture, what on earth went wrong? How did such a load and a lot of biblical knowledge become a dangerous thing? One word, pride, hubris. Corinthians 1:8, verse 1, pride, knowledge comes before a fall. We know that, don't you? But Corinthians says knowledge puffs up. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Knowledge puffs up. See how it works? But love builds up. And a lot of Bible knowledge can be a good thing, but it can also be a dangerous thing at times. With regard to these scribes, Jesus in Matthew 23 said this. He said, they do all their deeds to be seen by others. They do all their deeds to be seen by others. So, these guys would have loved the social media, wouldn't they? They'd have loved the selfie. If they did everything that they did to be seen by others, what a perfect way to show that. You know, you can imagine them all dressed up for the synagogue, getting in the selfie there. That big long prayer, YouTube would be an excellent place just to post that. And it's a good question to ask ourselves, what motivates us to do stuff for God? What motivates us when we do stuff in SCF? Why do I do that? Am I doing that for my glory? Or am I doing it for God's glory? Sometimes it's more difficult to do things if we think we're not going to be seen, or if no one knows about it. And of course, Ephesians 4, verse 1 tells us to be completely humble. Be completely humble. As I read that verse, I always think that I have an awful lot to be humble about, and we do have an awful lot to be humble about. Think about how much we've messed up, even this week. Think of those bad attitudes of our heart. We have an awful lot to be humble about, with nothing to be proud about. Whatever you do then, Do it humbly. Do it in humility. Keep it low-key. It doesn't have to be broadcast to the world. It can be between you and God. What about a bit of William Shakespeare? I don't think we use William Shakespeare enough from the pulpit. I'm not sure that he was a Christian, but sometimes he had wise things to say. When it came to humility, he said, "Have more than you show and speak less than you know." Have more than you show and speak less than you know. Be humble. And then Matthew 6:5-6 reminds us that your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Your Father who sees what you did or didn't do this week, the world doesn't need to know about it. He knows. And that's all that matters. Let's look at that second thing then. We've been told to beware. Okay, Jesus has sounded the alarm. The shepherd, our good shepherd, has sounded the alarm. Beware. So it's time for us, his sheep, to sit up and pay attention to what he is bringing our attention to. Beware of the scribes. And therefore, that is their behavior. Let's look a little bit deeper at that. Beware of their behavior. So have a look at your Bibles. It's only three verses, but you'll see there what it's very specific. Jesus names it for us. They like to walk around in long robes. Okay, they loved greetings in the marketplace. You can just imagine them walking around, thinking they're all that. They love the best seats in the synagogue. They want to be sitting up here, want to be sitting here, where everybody can see them. They devoured widows' houses. We look at that a little bit in a moment. And they love to stand up in a room and say big, long prayers where everybody would think that they were super holy and special. We're not going to look at all of those points one by one, but that first one, the long robes alone, allow us to see inside their proud heads. And we've got to ask, why were any robes at all? Why did they think that they needed to dress up in the first place? Well, they knew their Bibles. We've already established that. And in Numbers 1:38, they were referring back to that when Moses said, "Speak to the people of Israel to make tassels on the corners of their garments and put a cord of blue on the tassel of each corner." Okay, so they got that little instruction for them as Jews from the Old Testament. This is what God asked for. But the scribes, in their graceless logic, with their big heads and their puffed up understanding of how God operates, they're thinking, well, if God wants tassels, then my tassels are going to be longer than everybody else's. My robes are going to be longer and more elaborate than everyone else's. My prayers are going to be better than yours, and they're going to be longer. And what's more, you're going to know about it. I'm going to let you know all about how holy I am. But the real mistake, folks, the real mistake was that they didn't understand grace. They didn't understand grace. And they couldn't see into the darkness of their own hearts. They were hiding behind the religious stuff. But you know what Jesus told them they were like? He said, you scribes and you Pharisees, you are like whitewashed tombs. You're like whitewashed tombs. You look good on the outside, but inside you are corrupt. You see, folks, God is only concerned with what's in here. He's only concerned with your heart and your relationship with him, what he sees, not what anyone else sees. We think of the words of David. What did he say? He said, "Create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart." It's like the opposite of that whitewashed tomb. You see, long robes and long prayers, sharp suits, and sounding like you know all about it aren't going to cut it with God. If you haven't repented of your sin and you haven't in humility kneeled before the cross and prayed for forgiveness, can I point you to the cross today if you haven't already accepted the Savior as your own? The cross, the sacrifice at Calvary, is the only sacrifice that is good enough to please our holy God. Jesus has an open invitation to those who are able to admit in humility that they have no other hope but through his cross. He said, come to me, all you who labor and labor with sin, come to me. And Jesus said, I will give you rest. And we can be clothed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus. And we sing the song, don't we, when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. These guys didn't understand grace. That was their main issue. And that's the pitfall that we need to avoid today. Because God wants your heart, not your head. He wants your heart. There's another beware. Before we look at being like Jesus, there's another beware. Very important one that we really need to pay attention to. If you have a look at verse 47. Have a look at verse 47. They devoured widows' houses. They devoured widows' houses. How many times, tell me this, in real life, how many times have you heard someone say that, I used to go to church, but they hurt me. The people there, they hurt me. The leadership there, they hurt me. You see, where God's grace is misunderstood, where grace isn't applied, especially in a church context, there will be damaging spiritual abuse. It's not very clear in this verse how that showed itself, but it said they devoured widows' houses, but we get the picture, don't we? The most vulnerable in the community were hurt. The most vulnerable in the community, the widows. They devoured widows' houses. And were pride and self-centeredness set in a community, the most vulnerable, they're the ones that are going to get hurt. That's a fact. If you're a Christian, may we, as the recipients of grace, then extend that grace and mercy and that love and that kindness and that humility. And I really do believe that humility in each of us as believers will protect us as we move forward as a church. That's going to protect us from so much if we can just grasp where we are with the Lord. It's going to protect us from the punishment as well. If you have a look there at that last verse, these men will be punished more severely. Humility will protect us from that as we understand and we apply grace. So Jesus warns us, beware of the scribes and don't behave like them. Don't be like these guys. What we need then is another role model. We need something else. We need someone else to look at and say, I'm going to be like that. I'm not going to be like them. I'm going to be like you, Jesus. And there we come to that last point. Be like Jesus. When we leave here today, I challenge you to go and be salt and light into the community, into your family, into your school. Illuminate and purify. That's our task. Illuminate and purify. Salt and light. Bring light and bring change. Bring the good news of the gospel. Share it in whatever way you can. That good news that we are sinners, but Jesus saves sinners. Sin needs to be punished, but Jesus paid the price of that punishment on the cross at Calvary. And we go and share that light into our community. We're going to need another role model that's going to remove us from religion and hypocrisy and tradition. We need another role model. That role model is Jesus. It's Jesus. Study him, copy him, obey him, trust him, and follow him. I'm going to finish just by reading some verses from Philippians 2, verses 3 to 8. Philippians 2, verses 3 to 8. Listen to these words. You don't need to look it up. Just concentrate on the words, and I'll read them for you. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Remember what Jesus said about these guys? They do everything to be seen by others. But do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others. Don't look around you, but have a think about the people who are around you. Value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Here's a good one, verse 5. In your relationships with others, I hope you have relationships with each other here that are good, but in those relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. And then it gives us some example of how we should live that. So Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Jesus didn't see his position as the Son of God as something to be used against us, to lord it over us. He didn't do that, even though he could. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. The creator of the world takes the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Three B's to take away with you today, and just to think about and to ponder. And sort of when you get to Wednesday and you think, what on earth did David talk about on Sunday? Three B's: beware of the scribes, beware of their behavior, and be like Jesus. Let's pray.